Well, it's good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I just want to thank the church for all you've done for this meeting, and it's been a help to me.
Amen.
Appreciate the good preaching.
Yes.
I'll tell you, preaching will help you.
Yes.
It'll just help you. That's just the way it is, and so I appreciate that. I want you to be turning to 2 Kings chapter number 5. I'm going to take a familiar text and maybe look at it just a little different. I would guess that every preacher in the house has preached on this text and maybe multiple times. We're going to look at the healing of Naaman, and I want to try to put maybe just a little mission twist to it if I can. You're looking at a fellow that believes in missions. I just believe in it. I know a lot of pastors don't. I've never been a missionary, never been a mission director, anything like that. But I know what missions has done for our church. I just know that. We give to missions, but missions have given much more back to us. That's just how it is. You wouldn't believe that. You won't believe that until you get involved in it. And I could just start saying, I was 40 years old before I was really, truly introduced to missions. The fact of the matter is that the Great Commission is really the great omission for many churches. Just how it is. And I think I said this not long ago, and it just seems to be right. Amongst the Lord's people, there's givers and there's takers. Missions is a giving endeavor. Fact of the matter, Christianity is a giving endeavor. Now, I'm not saying they're bad people, but they're just folks, good people, and their mentality is to be a taker. And you just have to accept that and do the best you can with it. That's just how it is. And so I'm well aware of where I'm at. And then, Brother Shepherd, I might ought to apologize. I'm going to say a few things about missions that I may cross your path. But here's where I've come to. If I say something you need to say, they need to hear it twice. That's just how I feel about it. I was scared to death somebody's going to preach my message. And then one day it hit me, well, if the Lord puts it on my heart and somebody else's heart, then maybe we need to hear it twice. Y'all sing the same songs twice. You make me listen at them twice. And my, the Word of God's much more powerful than that. And so I want to pray. Here's my manner. Most people read and then pray. I like to pray before I read. And so I'm going to pray again just real quick. And if you would, pray with me and for me. All I want to do is say something God could get glory out of. Really, I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. Just who I am. And so, but here's the fact of the matter is, I serve a great big God. He can help you tonight. Pray with me and for me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, and Lord, you know of nothing. You know, I want to publicly confess my inadequacy, my insufficiency. But Father, I know you're everything.
Yes.
And Father, I pray if you would tonight, you'd give me clarity of thought and speech. I ask you to open the hearts as you did old Lydia there on the riverbank that day. Father, I pray if there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, you'd refrain it for a little while. Lord, I just ask you to do an eternal work. May we leave tonight eternally changed for your glory and your honor. And Father, whatever you choose to do, I'll thank you for it. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Let me read just a little bit, just kind of Maybe there's somebody here not familiar. I'm like that other brother. That water cup scares me. Afraid that thing's going in a little, maybe. All right, let's begin reading verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host, I'm in 2 Kings 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her master, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And I'm going to stop reading right there. And my, there's so many ways that you could preach this text. You know, I have preached it looking at the casualties. Naaman should have been a casualty.
Yep.
The little maid could have been a casualty. Gehazi was a casualty. And you make a little message out of all of those and preach a little truth there. And normally it's preached as salvation message. I think we're all familiar with that. But I want to just stop and look at the two characters in the first two verses and just kind of lay out my thinking, and I want to make a practical application tonight in the way of missions. And so we see that Naaman, when we look at Naaman, it's all good. He's the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He's a great man with his master. He's honorable. What the Bible says, he's honorable. He's mighty man in valor. And my, here's where we get sideways. He was a leper. And of course, leprosy, type of sin.
Yep.
You know that. And so here is a man who people who would look at him on the outside, here's what they would say, he's the man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's successful. He has a position in life. He knows all the big boys, the big shots. Here's what we would say looking at him and the people that was around him. And let me back up just a little bit and say this. I don't think that, and maybe this is supposition on my part, I don't think the leprosy had progressed very far. If half his face had been eaten off with leprosy and his arm chewed up and folks looking at that, I think he would already been placed outside the camp.
That's right.
I believe that.
Yep.
I believe this is just beginning to work on him. And it seems like maybe his army doesn't know it, just a few of family and maybe his, the king and a few others. And so when you look at him, here's the picture I get. When you look at him from the outside, everything looks like it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that there's a lot of folks in our day that everything looks right on the outside, but there's a little problem on the inside, and if it's not dealt with, it's going to bring death.
Right.
Amen. And so I want to look at Naaman from that perspective. He's a man's man, a hero, a war hero, and so much we could say about him. Outwardly, he was impressive, but inwardly, he had a problem.
Yes.
There's a lot of folks, there may be somebody here tonight like that. You know, a believer can be like that.
Yes,
I've seen folks I thought they was doing real well till they came to my office and wanted me to counsel them.
Yeah.
And I realized all of a sudden what it appeared was not how it was.
Right.
And so that's where he's at. Outwardly, he's impressively impressive, but inwardly he has a serious problem. And that problem's going to lead to death. And so we get a picture, Naaman pictures sinners in our day. But then I want to look verse number 2, and here's where some of you may get a little sideways with me. In verse number 2, we're introduced, let me say it this way, to a missionary. That's really, if you stop and think about it, she can picture a missionary. Her citizenship was in another land. She providentially, by the hand of God, has been sent to Syria, and she ends up preaching a good news message to a man that has death on his life, and that man gets help from him. So tonight, can you see with me where I'm coming from? We have a picture of a sinner, we have this little maid, and to me, I can draw a parallel. Now, you can give me 10 reasons why she's not a picture of a missionary, but just give me a little license tonight. Don't run me in the ditch. Just stay with me and let's see if the Lord will help us for a little bit. And so she's close. Let's say it that way. She's close to what a missionary ought to be. And so, I probably ought not say some of these things I've got wrote down here, but maybe I ought to anyway. I was reading a book by Dan Truax, and he's saying the difference. He's got a little mission folder or whatever you want to call it, and he's dead and gone now. I understand that, but he said the difference in a missionary and an evangelist. Evangelist goes where there's already a church, tries to win the lost and get them in that church. And a missionary goes where there is no gospel witness and tries to win them and establish a church. By the way, I just want to say I think that struck a chord with me. Let me just say it that way. And so we see this situation. I'll get on with it in just a minute. But I want to just take a minute and I want to say this. The Great Commission is still the Great Commission. I don't think we take the Great Commission for what it really is. I'm convinced it's the marching orders of the church. I believe that.
Yes.
Now I understand the Great Commission covers evangelizing, it covers baptizing, it covers stabilizing.
Right.
It's a full package. You understand what I'm saying? But let me just say this tonight. If you stray too far from the Great Commission, you're out of bounds. You're sideways. That's exactly right. The work of the church is to carry out the Great Commission. Amen. That's exactly the way it is. And so I want you to know, you say what? Let me pretend like you don't know anything tonight. And you just patronize me for a little bit. The Great Commission is given to us in Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's evangelizing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
Amen. That's the Great Commission.
That's it
in a nutshell.
Yep.
But here, I'm going to get in trouble here, I know, with all these preachers here. Here, and I'm not against anything you do if it's for the glory of God. But we get involved in politics, and we get involved in feeding the hungry, and those things are good, but we ought not trade the best for the good. Amen. That's how it is. I want to say the Great Commission is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to folks that's never heard. And if we'll do that, we'll be doing the best thing we can do. Amen. That's how it is. Well, let me try to slow up here. Mark chapter 15 again. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here's a little saying I used to hear from, well, he's my hero, Stennett Blue. Some of you may know him. Some of you may not. He said, every creature deserves a preacher. That's right. That's exactly right. That little fellow over in Africa, in the middle of the jungle, nobody cares about him. Just eking out a life the best he can. Can I say he deserves to hear a preacher? That's right. Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I'm not careful. This thing of the Great Commission is a serious matter. I mean, and here's what I hear preachers do all the time. They start making excuses why it's right not to support missionaries. Well, they're lazy. Well, they can't preach. You've heard all that stuff. And they just go on and on. Can I say there's a lot of pastors that's lazy? There's a lot of pastors that can't preach. There's a lot of pastors that hadn't been called to preach. That's exactly right. You don't say anything about them. Why you pick on the poor old missionary folk? Well, that's the truth. Why don't you sell your house, pack your belongings up, go halfway around the world. Go to a place where you're an outsider and people don't want you there and they don't want to hear what you have to say. Then if you want to talk about the missionary, you have a right to, I guess, at that point. Spend your Christmas all alone with just you and two or three of your family members. See how that goes over. I'm going to tell you something. And I know missionaries don't like for me to say this, but they're heroes to me. I look up to them. I've never sold my house, and I've never quit my good job, and I've never packed my kids up, take them to a place where nobody wanted me. My, I don't understand why we're so against the Great Commission and so anti-missionaries in our day we live in. think it might come back to we're takers and not givers. I believe it might. Now we'll give if we can get something in return. But my, when we just have to give for the good cause of Christ, so hard on us sometimes. My, I just want you to know I'm for missions. And you can't outgive God. You just can't do it. By the way, you know you can rob God in other ways than just the tithes. You can rob God in your offerings if Malachi's right. That's exactly right. You can rob him in your offerings. Hey, you can rob him in your faith promise offering. That's right. Well, I'm just kind of scattered around here. It's just on my heart. It's in my heart. God, I'm just saying things that it's the heartbeat of God that we seek to get the gospel to the whole world. And we make all the excuses we want to make, but really that's all they are, excuses. And if the missionary is not what he ought to be, does that mean we ought not to do what we ought to do? Here's what I've said to our church. Let's do our part. If they don't do their part, they can answer to God for that. I don't want to come short. God, in this thing of the Great Commission, you can't outgive God. His spoon's bigger than your shovel. He can give you more with his spoon than you can shovel to him. That's exactly right. I'm telling you, if you knew what missions has done for has accomplished at the Ridgeview Baptist Church, if I could just tell you, if I did, you'd think I was bragging. I was trying to be arrogant. If you just knew, and we're just a little, our little church, you'd come there and think we is nothing, but God has blessed us. And I'm telling you why he did bless us, because we honored him with the Great Commission. Amen. I'm afraid we're missing it. And then I want to say, here's what I see a lot of times. There'll be a church, they'll have 20 missionaries, but they're in a $2 million building program.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
I'm not against building programs. Right. But here's, I'm not telling y'all anything you don't know. It's just a burden. I come to mission conferences, it burdens my heart.
Amen.
It burdens me.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. I try to live by this verse. I try to. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, y'all know it, don't you?
Amen.
Do with thy might.
Amen.
And then somebody, church of 300 or 400, I was in church, I didn't know this pastor was a director on the mission board. I just assumed they had all kinds of missionaries. They had, I think it's 25 or maybe it was 40. It was about 10% of what they ought to have, or 20. And had a big old building, and I was preaching on, we build our buildings, and we buy this, and do that, and we get 20 or 30 missionaries and think we're somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
Think we're carrying out the Great Commission. He said, do it with all your might.
Right.
I just want to ask you tonight, are you doing all you can for the Great Commission?
Amen.
And really what I'm really saying, you know.
Yeah.
What's the problem? That's just what I'm asking. Why is it we struggle?
Yeah.
I just can't understand it. God, here's what it says in Mark. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God.
Yep.
Now here's what I get out of that text in Mark 16. He's saying this, now fellas, I'm getting ready to go away.
Yep.
And while I'm gone, here's what I want you to do, and I'll be back in a little while.
Yeah.
I believe, kind of like mom and dad when you were at home.
Yep.
And they might go to town, they say, now, here's what I want you to do while I'm gone.
Yep.
And if it's not done when I get back, you're going to be in trouble. I think that's the same thing with what we're dealing with here. He told them, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then just after that, he's gone.
Yeah.
That's his last command to us. And yet, it seems to me it's dull to us.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't understand unless we're just takers.
Yeah.
Unless we're just about us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I'm put a damper on all this shouted out we've been having. I believe I'm telling it right. I believe it's right. This is a mission meeting too, isn't it? I think it's right. Well, here's this little missionary girl who has overcome some things in her life to be effective. She could have been bitter. I mean, really, she could have been bitter at the Lord. Why did it have to be me? We don't read of any other little maids who was carried captive. May have been, but we don't read of it. She very well could have been bitter. She could have been angry at Naaman and his family, making her a servant. She could have been discontented. It looks to me like somewhere she had found contentment with what God had for her life. I believe that's right. Some of you, God may be dealing with in some areas you don't want to go into. It may be. Let me just say this, since it's mission meet, it may be some of you God's dealing with about going into missions. And I'm telling you, I'd probably backslide if he called me to the mission field. I'd be like the sister going to Mexico. Well, I'd be shaking my head no. I'm comfortable with that. But can I say, if God calls you, he can content you with it.
Amen.
That's right. Here's this little girl. And really, she couldn't have had maybe a worse life in some ways.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Naaman and his wife was good to her. I would guess that. I would guess she had a character that when she spoke, they thought what she was saying was right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure she had a track record with them
that
made them readily adhere to what she had to say. And so here she is, and she's continued. She could have just bowed up and said, well, he's getting what he deserves. Very well could have done that. A lot of God's people would have done that. That's right. You know that's right. They may be some here right now, and you've got hard feelings at somebody. Let me just say, I'm all over the board tonight, but let me just say this. If you've got hard feelings at your brother, sister in Christ, you're not right with the Lord.
That's right.
You need to get right with him. That's exactly right. Here's this little girl, and she had every reason to be a casualty. I mean, it's a good possibility, but she had learned to be content in whatever state she was in. I want to encourage you, seek to learn contentment in your life. Amen. The Lord will have to help us with that. That's just how it is. And so here's this little girl. Here's what I like about her. She looked at Naaman, and her compassion made her speak up. I wish we had compassion like that. I told Karen, my wife, going home, I said, you know, I just don't think I love sinners like I ought to. I don't know if any of us do. I noticed a young lady last night got saved, and there's a little bit of rejoicing, but my, somebody ought to have made her laugh.
Amen.
Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to done something. That was a soul rescued from the devil's hell. I'm afraid our love has grown cold because we're around iniquity. I understand the context of that verse, but I think that principle affects us sometimes. We're in the world, we're around all this, and our love grows cold. Then we don't care. We don't care about that little boy in Africa. That little fella down in Central America. Over in Brazil. I could just go around the world. Can I just say there's Naamans everywhere? This little girl, she knew what Naaman didn't know. She had a message that would help him, but he didn't know about it. He needs somebody to tell him. And what moved her, in my mind, what moved her to tell the story was her love and her compassion for that one that was in need. I think we lost that. Oh, I need more love and more compassion. Well, let me just try to walk you through. I'm not even preaching the text much. I'm just giving the burden of my heart. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us that we're just half-hearted and lukewarm in carrying out the Great Commission? And then we pat ourselves on the back and tell us what good Christians we are. And the whole world's dying, going to hell. And we're going home watching the television, doing everything else. And just as unconcerned as we can be. Well, we're in bad shape. I'm just going to be honest with you. We're in a mess. God's people are in a mess. Well, let me try to get back to the text. She cared, and out of compassion, she shared a message of hope that Naaman needed to hear. Now, here's what the devil tells me so many times. They ain't going to listen to you. You're wasting your time. They don't want help. By the way, you can't help people that don't want help. That's just how it is. It took me a long time to learn that. That's one thing I know now. If you don't want help, you're not going to get it.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
how it is. But here's this. Let me just say this. But there's people out there that want help.
Yeah.
There's some out there and they won't help. And they don't know.
Right.
When I look at the world and I see they're searching for happiness.
Yeah.
And they're going to all the places, the alcohol and the drugs and the racetracks and the ball field. They're searching for happiness.
Amen.
And joy. And we know where that's at.
Amen.
We know what they're looking for. They don't know. They don't have a clue. But we do. Why aren't we telling more? This little missionary girl, she overcome the lot, but her love and her compassion was far greater than her struggles, her fleshly struggles. My, we need, and I know the Lord has to do that. I know you can't just say, I'm going to love more and it just happened.
No.
Go ahead, tell yourself that. You won't be one bit better off. God has to help us with that.
Amen.
Church, can I just tell you, we need the Lord. We Amen. Need Him to work in our hearts and our lives. And I'm afraid we think too highly of ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, Let me try to get to my little story and finish it up right quick. Naaman, he wanted help. You can tell that from the actions he took.
Yes.
I say this to our folks all the time. It's honest people that get help from the Lord. If you want help from the Lord, you need to be honest with yourself. I'm afraid we live in denial. The brother, you talked about that this morning, I think, on the being busy when things slow down. But you know, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid we don't want help. Let me just ask you, do you want help?
Amen.
Do you want help? Can you look at your life and say there's some things not what it ought to be in my life? And do you really want help?
Amen.
Here's Naaman, he wanted help. He knew what was coming. He knew death was down the road and he wanted help. And he ran. Let me just shortcut this. I've got all his obstacles he fought. He had a third party intervention. There's always that third party when you're trying to help somebody that they think they know, but they don't know.
Right.
That's the king of Syria.
Yeah.
He thought he knew where he needed to go. But he didn't know. He was trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
He didn't know enough to be helpful.
Yeah.
That's the truth. A lot of God's put, here I am, sounds like I'm beating you over the head. I'm not. I'm just sharing with you where we're at.
Yeah.
A lot of folks don't know enough to be helpful.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, good people mean well, love people, but they just don't know enough to help. He had some preconceived notions about what the preacher ought to do.
Yeah.
Good night. One thing that just angers me quickly is when somebody's telling me what the Bible says and they ain't been to church in 30 years and ain't picked up a Bible in 20.
Yeah.
And here I am, I'm trying to be a student of the Word and study on a regular basis every day. I try to. And try to find the truths from the Word of God. And then they're telling me how it is.
Yeah.
I don't know about you preachers. That aggravates me.
Sir.
I like what Alfred Willis said. He said he's in the prison. They're telling him he was wrong. He said, I told him, you shut up and sit down.
Yeah.
I've been preaching however many years it was and studying the Word of God. And you don't know anything.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I ain't got the nerve to say that. I feel that way. It's the truth. Well, here's the bottom line. There was a lot of help he got. He got help from the maid. He got help from the king of Syria. He got help from the king of Israel. He tried to help him. He got help from Elisha. He got help from his servant. Fact of the matter, he had to help himself a little. But really, ultimately, his help come from the Lord.
Amen.
Now, here's why I mentioned all them names. It took all of them to help Elisha overcome death in his life. I'm talking about physical death from the leprosy. It took all of them. And I want to just say this to you all. It takes all of us to carry out this thing we call the Great Commission. And the preacher said it right last night. We all ought to go, we all ought to pray, and we all ought to give.
Amen.
But some ought to go farther than some of us.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And some of us can give a whole lot more than others can.
Amen.
That's just how it is.
Right.
Who can take credit for Naaman's salvation? The little maid can, all she did. But let me give you this little point. It started with her. If she's a type of a missionary from this text, it starts with a missionary going to a people that don't know and telling them the good news and letting God do with it what needs to do.
Amen.
You know that's right. It started with her. If she hadn't have did what she did, then none of the rest of it would have mattered. I said that to say this, the missionary's important.
Amen.
They're important. I need them. I cannot carry out the Great Commission without them. You're looking at a pastor, I recruit missionaries. I call one and ask him to come in. He said, man, you're the first guy that's ever called me and asked my pastor that's ever called me and asked me to come. I want to carry out the Great Commission.
Amen.
It's in my heart.
Right.
Naaman escaped physical death from the leprosy, and it started with a little maid.
Amen.
But it took more than just the little maid.
Right.
It took a group of people doing their part.
Yeah.
And it so will it, so does it today.
Amen.
And here's what I want to ask you. I guess I want to ask you this. Is the Great Commission really the Great Commission in your mind? Don't be in denial. Just be honest about it. I've had missionaries give bad taste in my mouth. I've had it. Y'all have too. If you pastor a church in it. But I've also seen pastors run off with a piano player. The Great Commission is the marching orders of the local New Testament church. That's it.
Right.
And if we fail to do that, we've missed God on it.
Yes.
Now, I don't know where y'all stand. I didn't know. Everybody's got their little thing. Some. It's amazing what people think about missions.
Yeah.
I mean, you can sell ice cream to the kids and call it a mission program. That's exactly right. Everything's missions. I mean, but really, biblically it's not. We know that. But, and I could just sit up here and give you excuse after excuse why I wasn't going to support missions. But it's a command of our Lord and Savior. He said, I'm going away. Let me say it to you again. I'm going away, and here's what I want you to do. And I'll be back in a little while. And I want whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, I want you to do it with all your mind.
Amen.
Are we doing that tonight? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I've tried to obey you the best I know how. And I ask you, Father, if there's some that maybe's not taking this Great Commission serious as they should. Father, would you speak to their heart and help them? Lord, I want you to get all the glory.
Yes.
I want you to be honored and uplifted, magnified. I want to obey you.
Yes.
I want to love you like I ought to. I want to love my neighbors myself. Oh, God, please help us. Please help us. I ask you to help this church as they practice and involve themselves in missions. Please help them and bless them. You get all the glory. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Shepherd, I'm through tonight.